apparently. Lily's friend, my mom said. My face went hot. No, we are not friends. He's Wyatt's baseball coach. I placed the gravy boat next to the potatoes. Mom, our family is too crazy to have guests over, I tried to argue. And why couldn't Cade go to Sasha's house for Thanksgiving? Couldn't he torture another family? Ashley, now raiding the vegetable tray, said, He and Mark can talk. What? I thought you'd convinced Mark to stay home, I said. No, I didn't. But everyone be normal today, okay? Normal! Ashley marched out of the kitchen, probably to give the be normal instructions to the rest of the family. My family didn't know what normal was. She'd have to be a bit more specific than that. I wiped my hands on a dish towel and found myself heading to the bathroom and analyzing myself in the mirror. My analysis ended with me applying more mascara, a dusting of blush, and some lip gloss. Not for Cade, but because it was Thanksgiving. A doorbell rang, and I closed my eyes, giving myself a pep talk. I am glad Cade can spend Thanksgiving away from his house. He needs this, and I can handle him for one afternoon. Right? The doorbell rang again. Did nobody else know how to answer the door around here? It was probably better if I answered it anyway. I could let Cade know what he was in for, or better yet, turn him away. I opened the front door and stepped outside, while Cade's fist was in the air, getting ready to knock again. He wore a nice pair of pants and a button-down short-sleeved shirt. His hair was combed, and he held a wrapped box in his hand. He looked at the closed door over my shoulder and then said,
Your brother invited me.
I know. Did he warn you about how crazy our house is?
No.
Well, here is your warning. You can leave now before anyone even knows you're here if you want to. I wanted to add that I wasn't sure our house was exactly a better alternative to his, but that would mean giving away that I knew he was my pen pal.
I told your brother I'd come, Cade said.
Fine, but I want to have a nice day, so let's call a truce, okay? Let's not fight today. Because it's Thanksgiving.
Because it's Thanksgiving?
He asked, one eyebrow going up. I hadn't meant to quote one of his letters again. It just came out. But he wouldn't possibly guess that I was quoting him. I was the last person he would think was exchanging letters with him. Unless that much self-control is too hard for you, I added, trying to cover.
You've already broken the truce with that comment,
Cade pointed out, with a half smile. The truce doesn't start until you enter the house.
And it ends the second I leave?
Yes.
Deal.
He held out his hand like we should shake on it. I almost walked away from his outstretched hand, but figured I should get a head start on playing nice. I shook. Good. When I tried to pull my hand back, he held on.
You look nice.
What? I spit out. No need to overdo it. I said no fighting. I didn't say we had to think of compliments. A slow smile spread across his face.
This is going to be fun. And I sense it might be harder for you than it will be for me.
Because you're used to being fake? I bit my tongue before I said more.
No, because you seem incapable of being nice.
He dropped my hand and opened the door, leaving me on the porch staring after him. So had we called a truce or not? Sealing a truce with insults didn't seem like a very promising start. He was right. I wasn't sure I could do this. Cade's here, everyone, I called, walking in behind him. Coach! Wyatt came running down the hall. It looked like he was tempted to hug Cade, but then he held up his hand for a fist bump instead. Cade complied. Jonah appeared as well and wanted his own fist bump.
I'm Jonah. I'm 7, and you'll be my coach in 2 years, he told Cade.
Hopefully, Cade said. I might be away at college by then.
You can come back to coach me, Jonah assured him.
I hope I can. Wyatt, direct me to your mom. I have a gift for her.
Why did you bring her a gift?
Because it's polite to bring people gifts when they have you over.
I've never done that before, Wyatt said thoughtfully, except for birthday parties, but this isn't a birthday party.
Cade draped his arm over Wyatt's shoulder.
You're right.
They left, and I took a deep breath. I could do this. I just imagined Cade as the guy I'd been exchanging letters with, the one my brother looked up to. not as the one who mocked me in the halls and warned guys away from me. Just as I was about to see if my mom needed help in the kitchen, the doorbell rang again. I turned around and answered it. A guy holding a bottle of sparkling cider stood on the porch. His dark hair was a mess, but his clothes were wrinkle-free and dressy, so I assumed the hair thing was purposeful. Considering my own hair on most days, I really should have been more forgiving of unruly hair. "Hi," I said.
"I'm Mark.
Ashley's friend, boyfriend?" "Oh, right, food teeth guy." His brow furrowed.
"Excuse me?"
"Nothing, come in. I'm Lily."
"Ah,"
he said, as if he now understood some mystery. What had my sister told him about me, and how could I already have proven whatever that was in two sentences? "Ash," I yelled, stepping inside. "Your boy is here." Ashley came sweeping into the room in a cloud of perfume and hairspray. I wasn't even sure what about her hairstyle required hairspray, but she'd used a lot of it. "Mark, hi. Oh, is that for us?" She gestured toward the bottle he held. "Thank you." She threaded her fingers between his and led him away. When had our house become the destination for Thanksgiving visitors, the type that brought gifts? This was going to be the strangest Thanksgiving ever. Chapter 31. Just because our visitors had some form of etiquette training didn't change my family's manners. The second my father uttered the word, "Amen," my brothers and little cousins dive-bombed the counter where all the food was laid out. They were digging through turkey pieces before anyone had a chance to move. The kitchen became a flurry of activity. My mom taking lids and foil off of everything, my dad calling out for the dark meat, my sister pouring drinks, my grandparents directing from their places at the table, my aunt wrestling her daughter into a high chair while the baby screamed bloody murder, and her other two kids ran circles around the counter, my uncle barking orders at his kids. Cade stood as if frozen to the tile, unsure of what to do. Visits to my house needed to come with a training manual. I looked at the clock on the stove. It was 2:05 in the afternoon. 1 hour. That was how long Cade would last before he made an excuse to leave. I'd bet my broken guitar on it. I gave him a smirk. "I warned you, and if you want any food, you'll have to take the plunge." He did just that. In two steps, he had a plate and was filling it expertly. He wound in and out of bodies until he arrived at the end of the counter, where Ashley held up a drink for him. I was the only one frozen to the tile now. The empty roll basket mocked my amateur move of waiting too long. Wyatt's plate had three rolls precariously stacked, and I snagged one as I walked by. "Hey!" I patted his head and took a bite, then grabbed a plate. The table was already full, as were the bar stools at the counter, so after I filled my plate, I went outside to the picnic table, where it was possible to eat comfortably in November, because it was Arizona, the state that tried to kill its inhabitants every summer, but made them forget about its attempt by being exceptionally kind every winter. I dropped a green bean into the rabbit cage as I walked by. Then I sat down. Soon I was joined by Ashley and her boy. And then Cade came out. My stomach dropped. He was Wyatt's guest. Shouldn't he have stayed inside with him? Mark looked a little deflated, his wild hair flatter than it had been upon arrival.
"It's much quieter out here," he noted, looking around in relief.
"Not for long," I said.
"Well, I can't stay too long anyway," he said.
Wow. 10 minutes, and Mark was already laying down the exit strategy. "You can't?" Ashley asked.
"I told you, right? My grandparents are expecting me soon."
I waited for Cade to say something similar, jump on the easy excuse, but he was too busy eating. "I don't think we've officially met," Ashley said to Cade. "You're Wyatt's coach, right?" Cade looked up and swallowed.
"And Lily's friend," he said, winking at me.
"You two are friends?" Ashley asked, the surprise in her voice a little insulting. "More like acquaintances," I said coolly. "Who hate each other," I almost added, but stopped myself in time. "We hang out in completely different groups." The back door flew open, and Jonah and two of my cousins came running out. The two little ones went straight for the grass, but Jonah went to the rabbit cage. "Hey, coach," Jonah called. "Do you want to see Bugs Rabbit?"
"You mean Bugs Bunny?"
Cade said.
No, it's a rabbit.
Cade looked at me and I smiled. It's a rabbit, I echoed.
Of course it is.
Cade nodded to Jonah.
Yes, I see him. Very cool.
Jonah opened the cage and both Ashley and I said, Leave him inside.
I'm just holding him.
Jonah brought the rabbit out and over to show Mark and Cade.
Have you ever eaten rabbit? Mark asked. It's actually pretty good.
Jonah's mouth fell open, and Ashley shoved Mark's shoulder with a laugh. He's just kidding, Jonah, she said. A second too late, Mark nodded his head.
Yes, just a joke. We won't eat Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Rabbit, Cade said, before Jonah could.
Cade scratched the rabbit behind the ears, and Jonah must have taken that to mean he wanted to hold him, because he dropped the rabbit in Cade's lap. Cade let out a grunt, obviously surprised, and couldn't wrap his arms around the rabbit in time. It hopped up onto the table and somehow managed to step in every plate in under 5 seconds, each one of us reaching for but missing it. Finally, I stood and picked it up. This was my first time picking up the evil pet, though, and apparently I didn't know how, because its back legs became like mini saw blades, its nails chewing into my arms. I let out a shriek and dropped the rabbit, and it took off across the yard. I studied my arms. Most of the cuts were surface scratches, but one longer one beaded with a few drops of blood. When I looked up, Cade was chasing Bugs with Jonah on his heels.
Seriously? Rabbit is tasty, Mark said,
then chuckled at his own joke.
Just saying.
Cade dove, arms outstretched, and managed to land perfectly, capturing the little pest. Jonah cheered, and my two cousins who had joined in the chase jumped up and down, clapping. Cade, on the ground, rolled onto his back, bringing the rabbit onto his chest. The rabbit now looked like a docile kitten as Cade stroked its fur.
He's going to pee on you, I called.
Cade laughed, as if this was a joke, now with all three of the kids sitting in the grass at his sides and petting the rabbit. No, it wasn't the cutest thing ever. I refused to admit that. Cade picked a few strands of grass and was trying to feed them to the rabbit.
He doesn't like grass. He eats carrots and lettuce and pellets, Jonah informed him.
What are pellets? Cade asked.
I don't know, but they smell gross.
Cade laughed again, a deep, genuine laugh, and all the kids joined in. I was glad he was enjoying himself. The letter about his normal family Thanksgivings was not a happy one. I guess I could be glad for him today. Tomorrow, all bets are off. Jonah relieved Cade of the bunny and tucked it away in his cage. Ashley and Mark took the contaminated plates inside. My little cousins went back to picking weeds that looked like flowers. Cade stayed on his back on the grass, hands clasped behind his head, ankles crossed. My feet had a mind of their own because they walked to stand next to him. He squinted up at me.
Your brother's cute.
He knows it, too. Kind of like someone else I know, I muttered, before I could stop myself. Cade laughed.
You're not talking about me, right? Because we have a truce.
It had been a joke, sort of. But he was right. We had a truce. You have grass stains on the knees of your pants now. He lifted one leg and looked, then put it down and patted the grass next to him.
Sit down.
I didn't take kindly to commands, but, again, my brain didn't seem to be in control of my body. I sat. Cade rolled onto his side to face me, propping himself up with one elbow. Then he just stared at me, for so long that I began to squirm under the scrutiny. I didn't want to be the first person to say something, but I couldn't help it. You should look into catching rabbits for a living. You're not half bad at it. He smiled.
That would be almost as manly as becoming a cowboy.
I laughed. What are your career plans, anyway? I asked, realizing we had never talked about that in our letters before. Cade sighed.
You sound like my dad.
I noticed that he didn't say stepdad, even though I assumed that's who he was referring to. Was that supposed to be an answer?
Baseball. Those are my plans for now. Let me know if you hear of any rabbit catcher openings, though.
I knew a non-answer when I heard one, but I was used to Cade sharing with me. In his letters, at least. And even though it made no sense, it hurt a little that he wasn't willing to do that now, in person. But of course he wouldn't open up to me, Lily. I wasn't someone he liked. I wasn't whoever he thought the letter writer was.
Are you still hungry? I asked, changing the subject. There's probably more food inside.
No, I'm good. I actually ate at my house before coming here.
Then why did you come? I asked.
Because your brother invited me. He's a good kid.
I ran a flat hand over the top of the grass, letting the blades tickle my palm. Is that the only reason? I wanted him to talk about home, vent, like he had in the letters. If he'd had a bad morning, I wanted him to talk about it. Maybe I wanted to prove to him that he could talk to me.
Did you want there to be another reason?
He tilted his head and lifted one side of his mouth into a half smile. I realized what I just implied without the context of the letters.
No, of course not,
I stammered, willing my face not to turn red. I just wondered why your parents didn't make you stay home. My parents don't let me leave on Thanksgiving. His air of confidence seemed to falter. He lay back on the grass again.
Yeah, I'm sure my parents like me to stay home, too. My mom likes for us to spend time together.
She does? That's not what he'd said. Well, written before.
Of course. What mom doesn't, right?
This boy had up the biggest wall ever. I wasn't sure what it took to get him to be real outside of his writing. Not all moms are good moms, or dads. Kay didn't even flinch, or squeeze his eyes shut. He just turned his head and studied me again.
Your arm is bleeding.
I looked down to see a few red drops along my arm. Oh, bugs got me. It's no big deal.
You probably want to clean that. He's not exactly the most sanitary creature in the world.
I could tell our conversation was over by the way Cade draped one arm over his eyes, like he was settling in for an afternoon nap. It hurt more than I wanted it to. Chapter 32. It was 5:30, and Cade was still at my house. I'd given him 1 hour, and he'd lasted over 3. I totally lost the bet I'd made with myself. Mark was long gone. He hadn't even stayed long enough for my grandparents' annual stories about Thanksgiving's past, featuring my mom as a teenager who went on a hunger strike for turkeys everywhere. And he definitely hadn't stayed for the pie we were about to eat. The pie. The event I had been pushing off for the last hour, trying to outlast Cade. He could not be here when we did the family tradition I had spelled out so perfectly in the letter. Any minute, he would leave. He had to. Those were the thoughts I'd had for the last 120 minutes. Minutes filled with my little cousins attaching themselves to Cade's ankles and not letting go while he walked around. With my dad explaining to him every step of how he built the bookcase in the living room. With my mom using his wrist as a measurement for a man bracelet she was making. She had said that out loud to him. I'm going to make a man bracelet. Let me see your wrist. I'd lost count of the number of times my face had turned red, of how many times Cade had looked confused or amused. I wondered how many of these stories were going to be hand-delivered to Sasha later. Where is Sasha, anyway? I asked abruptly, as we sat on opposite couches, Cade's wrist still being wrapped in the brown leather cording my mom wielded. He shrugged.
Family stuff. Where's Lucas?
Lucas? How do you... Why would I know where Lucas is?
I saw you two at a concert the other night.
My stomach jumped. Frequent stops? You were there? I knew you'd... I stopped myself before finishing with the words, love them. Cade tilted his head.
You knew I'd what?
Be there. I heard Sasha say something.
Sasha didn't go.
Oh, she must have known you would be there.
She did.
Lucas and I... Did I really need to explain my relationship with Lucas, or lack thereof, to Cade? He didn't deserve an explanation, especially not in front of my mom. She knew I'd gone to the concert with Isabel and Gabriel and a friend from school, and thankfully she wasn't really paying attention now. Had fun, I finished quickly. We had fun. My mom flipped Cade's wrist over.
Don't move. I need to get the clasp.
She got up and left, and for the first time today, the living room seemed quiet. A movie was playing in the other room, occupying the kids.
My aunts, uncle, dad, and grandparents were in the kitchen doing dishes, and I wasn't sure where Ashley had disappeared to. I nodded toward Cade's wrist. I'm sorry.
It's fun. I get a man bracelet.
I smiled. I don't think you get to keep it. She's just using you as her model.
Her model?
It's a fact, not a compliment.
Because if you gave me a compliment, you might have a stroke.
I laughed. Probably not a stroke, but my brain would definitely revolt in some way. He didn't laugh along with me, just looked at the cording on his wrist. Oh, stop. You don't need me to tell you that you're hot to know that it's true.
Are you okay? Did that hurt your head?
Cade asked. I kicked his foot with mine, and he laughed.
So you think I'm hot?
Cade's eyes sparkled. Doesn't every girl? It surprised me when his cheeks turned a light shade of pink. I wasn't sure why that embarrassed him in any way. I was positive he already knew it. He ran one hand through his hair. Then he said, almost too quiet for me to hear,
"You're not every girl."
My eyes darted to his, not sure I'd heard him right. Was he teasing me, like he had been all day? What did he even mean by that? Was it an insult? Was our truce over? My mom rushed back in.
Sorry, I couldn't find it. Now we have less than 5 minutes until the movie's over and we move on to pie.
She gave me a wink.
No!
The word sprang out of my mouth. Mom paused where she was affixing the clasp to the cord.
What? What's wrong?
It's not that time of night yet.
It is. It's getting late.
We normally do that with family only.
Lily,
Mom scolded. This was the moment Ashley decided to materialize, holding my notebook out in front of her.
It's time, she said with a smile.
I had completely forgotten about her vow to make me read a song. Terror raced through me. No, absolutely not. I stood and rushed to her, rescuing my notebook from her grip.
You promised, Ashley said.
There was no way I could read a song now. The only one that was halfway finished was the one about Cade, and he was here. I changed my mind.
I knew you would.
No, I was going to, but... Ashley shot me a disappointed look and left the room, just as the rest of the family filed in, my dad holding the blindfold. I was trying to think quick. This would be a dead giveaway. Cade would know for sure that I was the letter writer if this happened, and then he'd be horrified. We couldn't have this huge revelation in front of my entire family, where they'd get to see what the kids at school truly thought of me.
This is a special thing, I said to my father, my voice rising in panic. I don't think we should do this with strangers.
Lily, my dad said, his brow dipping to disapproval level.
I'm so sorry, my mom said to Cade, apologizing for me.
Cade stood, unwrapping the cord from his wrist and handing it to my mom.
You know what? It's fine. It's time for me to head out anyway. It is Thanksgiving, after all. My mom wanted me home. Thank you all so much for having me. Everything was amazing.
I was a horrible person. I was sending Cade running because I was scared. I was scared that tomorrow he'd be back to his old self, that I'd be back to my old self, that he wasn't the person I thought he was. That he was the person I thought he was. That I wanted to find out. I was scared. I followed him as he left, trying to think of some way to explain forcing him to leave without having to tell him the real reason. He reached the door.
So did the truce have a time limit?
He asked, without looking back.
Or is this the hour when you turn back into a...
He didn't finish that sentence, but I could fill in the blank. It helped solve my need to come up with an explanation. Instead, I opened the door and said, 3 hours is just as long as I can handle being around you. I regretted saying it the second it was out of my mouth. I wanted to tell him I didn't mean it, that I'd actually had a decent time with him today.
That's not what the other girls say. But you're not exactly a normal girl, are you?
He asked, with a wry smile. Goodbye, Cade.
Lily?
He nodded and walked down the dark path toward his car. I shut the front door and placed my forehead against it. The door felt cold, which made me realize my face was hot. With shame or anger, I wasn't quite sure.
Lily? My mom called from the other room. We're getting started. Coming.
The pie I spent the next 15 minutes tasting wasn't nearly as good as it normally was. Apparently, guilt had a bad aftertaste. Chapter 33. It was the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and I sat at the sewing machine set up on the kitchen table, finishing up a skirt. My phone buzzed in my pocket. I pulled it out to see Isabel's name across my screen. "Hi," I answered. "You want to come over?" That's how she greeted me. I laughed. "Can't. Babysitting." The microwave beeped. "Hold on a sec." I gathered the material hanging off the table and flung it on top of the machine. I went to the microwave as it beeped again and swung open the door to reveal 4 split-open hot dogs. "Wyatt, you put these in way too long." "I'll still eat them." I pulled them out, put them on the table in front of him and Jonah along with a bottle of ketchup. "They'll taste the same," I said to Jonah before he could argue. "Eat, and don't touch that." I pointed to the sewing stuff on the other end, then turned my attention back to the phone call. "You want to come over here?" I asked Isabel. "Yes, I'll be right there," she said, and I grinned. We hugged when she arrived, like we hadn't seen each other in ages. It had felt like ages since the concert. "How was Thanksgiving at Gabriel's?" I asked her as she came inside. "Fun. I only got to spend a few hours over there. You know how my parents are about holidays." We walked into the living room and plopped down on the couch. "I do," I said. "I was surprised they let you go at all. Were there a lot of people there?" "Yes, lots of kids. How about yours?" "Cade came over." I felt like I had to tell her every little thing that had to do with Cade now so she didn't think I was hiding anything from her. "What?" Her expression was as shocked as her voice. "Why?" "Wyatt invited him." She already knew that Cade was my brother's baseball coach this season. She gasped. "He didn't." "He did." "And?" she prompted, her eyes growing even bigger. "And Cade was here for over 3 hours." Her hand flew up to cover her mouth. "I'm sorry. You must have had an awful day." I shook my head several times. "No, quite the opposite, actually. We called a truce, and the day was pleasant." She laughed. "A truce? Your idea or his? Never mind. I don't know why I'm asking. That totally sounds like you." I shoved her arm. "What's that supposed to mean?" "You're funny, that's all. So, wow, you and Cade are getting along now. It's a miracle. Do you think it has to do with the letters? Does he know it was you?" "No, he has no idea. And when the clock struck midnight, well, when he left, the truce was over. We are so not friends. He and his girlfriend did get me sentenced to 2 weeks of detention after all. I have a grudge to uphold." "You never did explain to me exactly how that happened." "A substitute teacher and a case of mistaken identity." Isabel smiled. "That sounds like a mystery novel." "It should be. Anyway, it was dumb. Sasha stole my seat and proceeded to do awful things in my name." I threw my legs over Isabel's lap on the couch. "But it doesn't matter. It's over." "How are things with Lucas?" Isabel asked. I frowned, realizing I hadn't thought of Lucas once today. "He hasn't called or texted at all." "That's not a big deal." "It's been over a week," I protested. "But it's Thanksgiving weekend. Maybe he went out of town or something," she said. "It'll be fine." I picked at a loose thread on the couch cushion. "But if it doesn't work out with him, I'll be fine." "Why are you already writing him off like it won't work?" "I'm not." "You are. You're trying to protect yourself by pulling away before something even starts." "I'm not. It's just, I don't want you to worry about me if nothing comes of it. I don't need Lucas in order to be happy. I can be happy with him or without him. Or with someone else." Her dark eyebrows went up. "Someone else? Who?" Why was I blushing? In general, I was just hypothetically speaking. "Oh." She nodded, took a deep breath, then said, "So, Cade?" "No, definitely not Cade," I said, over the top of her next sentence, which I couldn't hear because I was too dramatic in my protest. "What?" She tilted her head. I said, "Back to Thanksgiving." "Oh, yeah, Thanksgiving. What about it?" My cheeks were still red, and I was trying to avoid looking at her.
I swung my feet back to the floor and stacked the magazines that were spread out on the coffee table.
What did you and Cade even talk about? Isabel asked me.
I don't know. The rabbit, my brother, his family.
Well, that last one wasn't exactly true. I tried to talk to him about his family, and he promptly shut down. But we had talked about his family in our letters, which reminded me of a question I had for Isabel. When you and Cade were together, did he talk a lot about his parents?
His parents?
Not really. Isabel slipped her feet out of her flip-flops and tucked them under her on the couch.
They're rich and travel a lot, but that's all I really remember.
Why?
Was his stepdad nice to you?
Stepdad? That's his real dad, right? He calls him Dad. He owns Jennings Insurance. Cade's last name is Jennings.
You're right, but
had Cade not told anyone that his parents were divorced? I guess if his real dad never came around, and he never had to go back and forth between parents, he never would have to explain anything if he didn't want to. He had mentioned he was pretty private in one of his letters.
You know, now that I think about it,
you're right, Isabel said, tilting her head. He did say once it was his stepdad, but it was like a side note.
So his stepdad must have adopted him? That's why he goes by his last name?
I'm not sure. I don't think he knew his dad very well. They divorced long before he moved here.
Not that long.
Yeah, maybe.
I still can't get over that the two of you got along for 3 hours, Isabel exclaimed, glancing over at me.
I mean, when I was with him, you guys couldn't be in the room together for more than a couple minutes without flinging insults.
I know.
When she was with him,
Isabel and Cade had been together.
That had really happened. It wasn't some ancient history. Cade really dated my best friend.
Don't worry. We haven't given up insulting each other. Pigs aren't flying yet.
Isabel glanced out the window.
Are you sure? I could have sworn I saw one in the sky on my way over.
Funny.
Isabel smiled and flung her arms around my neck.
I've missed you.
I've missed you, too.
Let me go make sure my brothers are ready for bed and we can watch a movie.
We were halfway through the movie when something I'd said to Isabel caught up with me. The reason I'd landed in detention. Sasha had been in my seat when Cade came into chemistry. He'd seen her in my seat. This was before I'd realized he was the letter writer. That's why he'd come in. Not to pull a prank to get his friends out of class early, but to see who was sitting in that seat. He thought his pen pal was Sasha.
I laughed.
What? Isabel asked. I couldn't believe Cade thought Sasha wrote those letters. They sounded nothing like her.
Then again, Cade's letters didn't sound much like him either.
I sat up with a gasp. Was that why he'd finally asked her out? Because he thought she was the letter writer? That thought brought me an unexpected feeling of anger. He was probably so happy the letter writer matched a beautiful, popular girl. It was all turning out perfect for the golden boy.
What? Isabel asked again.
I just figured something out. I explained to her about the seat exchange and the letters. She stared at me in both awe and horror.
That's awful.
Is it? Maybe it's better he thinks it's her.
But then won't he get mad at Sasha when the letters stop appearing?
I shrugged. Maybe he'll think she stopped writing because they're together now.
Maybe I'll help him think that.
She gasped.
You wouldn't.
It won't be too hard. People easily accept things that they want to be true. And he wants it to be true. He wants his letter writer to be Sasha.
Isabel's expression fell, but she didn't contradict me.
Chapter 34. I sat in chemistry on Monday, mulling over my plan. Even though I knew Cade wanted the letter writer to be Sasha, it actually would be hard to convince him it was. All he had to do was ask her some details. Did she have a younger sibling? Did she like the same music we did? He'd know soon enough. He should have known already, without me having to write anything at all. Unless Sasha had seen the desk with the writing on it the day she sat in my seat. Maybe she'd figured something out. If Cade had asked her about letters, maybe she'd played it off like she knew what he meant, went along with it. I reached under the desk. I thought I'd cured myself of this need after a week off, after knowing the rider was Cade, but my heart still raced when I felt the new note there. Did you listen to the Pink Floyd library in one sitting? That's a really awesome thing. I wish I'd thought of it. No. My thing had to do with writing my dad a letter. I know we'd talked about me writing my stepdad, but when I sat down to do it, I realized it was my dad I needed to talk to. He can ignore a phone call, but it would be harder to ignore a letter, right? Anyway, I wrote it and sent it over the break. Now I just get to wait. I'm used to waiting for responses now that we've been exchanging letters. It's taught me a bit of patience. Not really. I'm dying over here. I need a distraction. I spent Thanksgiving with another family because I needed to get my mind off of my life. Not to mention I told you how bad my Thanksgivings are. It was nice. It had been a long time since I'd seen what a real family is like. And this family was the epitome of a real family. It was like one of those paintings. You know that guy who paints classic American scenes that look too good to be true? I think he even actually did a Thanksgiving dinner scene. This was that. It was the best Thanksgiving I'd had in a while. How was yours? Mixed emotions competed inside me. So he'd had a good time at my house, and that made me melt a little. But his description of my family, the craziness that always had me on the brink of frustration, left me scoffing. I wrote back, "Do you mean Norman Rockwell? I'm sure you didn't spend Thanksgiving with a Norman Rockwell painting family. No family is perfect." I almost wrote, "least of all mine," but hesitated. Was I giving it away that he spent Thanksgiving with me by refuting his depiction of it? No. He thought he was writing Sasha right now. I'm glad it was a good distraction for you. I can understand why you'd need one. It's hard enough to wait a day for a response to a letter. I can't imagine how you're feeling waiting this long. Your dad will write back. He has to. Is there something specific you're hoping he'll say? Or do? Or do you just want an update on his life? I hope you didn't try to write a song for him, or you'll never hear back. No, but for real, your letters are very compelling. Almost impossible not to respond to. At least, that was the case with me. I'd never be able to stop responding to him, no matter what I knew or who he thought I was, because he had some letter-writing spell over me. Not only did Cade's letters insist on being responded to, they also filled my mind with lyrics. It was some cruel twist of fate that the only time I thought of good lyrics was after exchanging thoughts with Cade. Today wasn't any different. Sitting in detention, I'd already written an entire verse. "You have me under your spell, with all the secrets you tell. I can't make it stop. Please don't let it stop. You have me under your spell. If you knew me as well, you would make it stop. I can't let it stop." I was so wrapped up in my writing that I didn't hear the teacher get up and leave the classroom until the door shut behind him. Had he said something about leaving? My eyes went to the clock on the wall. We still had 30 more minutes. I also didn't hear Sasha, who was still serving a detention sentence as well, come up behind me. So when she yanked my notebook out from under my arm, I wasn't expecting it. "What are you writing?" she asked, and began reading out loud the lyrics on the page. My heart hammered in my chest, and I wanted so badly to get up and rip my book out of her hands and possibly beat her over the head with it. But I knew that's what she wanted. I knew she wanted me to get up and chase her around the room as she read from my notebook to the sound of the other laughing students, who right now were salivating for just that show as their eyes darted back and forth between the two of us. I had learned to speak bully over the years. It was the product of secondhand clothes and crazy hair that I didn't know how to tame until freshman year. I knew their language well. So as panicked as my insides were, I stayed in my seat, trying to keep my facial expression neutral. Sasha had made it to the far corner of the room in anticipation of me chasing her. From there, she screamed the last two lines as she laughed. "You would make it stop! I can't let it stop!" I willed my face not to turn red. This was my worst fear. I couldn't even let the people I loved read my lyrics. Sasha's senior friend in the back still laughed along with her. "What is that, a poem? A weird stalker poem?" My mind was spinning rapidly, trying to remember what else was in that book. Had I actually used the name Cade in that last angry song I'd written after I found out he was the letter writer? I hadn't, had I? Oh no, I had. All she had to do was flip 2 pages back. There were only 2 design sketches between the page she was on and that page. How long was Mr. Mendoza going to be out anyway? A bathroom break should be over soon. With a smile still on Sasha's face, she flipped back 1 page. My heart was going to stop. If I jumped up now and hurtled over 2 desks, I could possibly get to her in time. She was wearing heels, after all. She held up my drawing of the shirt for everyone to see. Now we know where Lily gets her awful fashion sense. She should have been bored with this game by now. I wasn't reacting at all, and the others in the room weren't responding positively either. My notebook should have been thrown on the floor or tossed back on my desk at this point. I've always wondered why your nose is glued to this book, Sasha went on. Now we know. Bad drawings and even worse poems. I understood why my no reaction wasn't going to work. This extended beyond just today. She'd been wondering about my book for a long time. She wasn't only doing this to humiliate me. She was doing this to satisfy her curiosity. She was going to keep looking. My stomach was in knots. Time for a new plan. Sasha's backpack sat on the floor by the desk she'd occupied moments ago. If her phone was in there, I was sure she'd make a trade. She flipped back another page. Like she was reading a picture book to a classroom full of kindergartners, she held it up for all to see again. A sketch of a halfway finished skirt. I stood, and just as I moved toward her bag, the classroom door swung open and Mr. Mendoza walked in.
Ladies, he said, I'm sure there is a perfectly justifiable reason why you're out of your seat, but I don't care. 1 more day each.
I could see on Sasha's face that she wasn't going to give me back my book. She was already walking to her seat, flipping another page.
She stole my book, I said, whipping around to the teacher.
This is my book, Sasha said before he responded. She was reading the lyrics now, her eyes going back and forth along the page. She must have come to Cade's name because she stopped suddenly, her eyes jerking to mine.
Give Lily her book back, Mr. Mendoza said sharply. Now.
She didn't listen, but flipped back more. I saw her tilt her head, reading notes I sometimes wrote in the margins of the pages to help me with the lyrics. Was she reading the notes I'd written about Cade's dad? His home life? My skin froze.
Sasha!
Mr. Mendoza growled. Sasha slammed the notebook shut and tossed it toward me. It landed with a smack on the floor next to me. I picked it up and opened it to one of the pages I was sure she had read. And even though there was a big X covering some of the words, most of them were still completely legible. My eyes went over the words. The words about exchanging letters. If only I hadn't added the unnecessary rant to the end of the lyrics, she wouldn't know who the words were about. But I had, and now she knew. And I had no idea what she'd do with that knowledge. Chapter 35. Punching someone on school grounds resulted in immediate suspension. I did not want to get suspended. This was what I told myself as I walked from detention toward the parking lot. I'd been the first to leave the room and needed to make it home without looking at Sasha, or I wouldn't be able to control my actions. Making it to the parking lot didn't help because neither my sister nor my mom were there waiting for me today. I pulled out my phone and texted Ashley. Is someone getting me? Lily? A voice from behind me said. It was Sasha. I turned quickly to face her. Then I took a step back, but my hands curled into fists. 2 very tight fists that were dying to swing. What?
Does he know it's you?
My stomach gave a jolt. So she had pieced everything together. Now I needed to figure out how to answer that question. If I said yes, she would confront Cade. If I said no, what? What would happen? Would she tell him? Keep playing it off like it was her? If that's what she'd been doing? I had to make a decision. No, he doesn't. There was no way I was going to tell her that he thought it was her, though. Sasha smirked.
I didn't think so. Lauren said you write and read letters in chemistry almost every day. She didn't know who you were exchanging them with.
So Sasha hadn't pieced together all the information from just my lyrics. Lauren had told her about my letter-writing habits as well.
If Cade knew it was you, he'd die,
Sasha went on. He hates you.
I know.
A lump was forming in my throat. I wasn't sure why. She hadn't said anything I didn't already know. Why had my anger turned to this sadness? Why had I gone from wanting to pummel her to wanting to crawl into bed and never come out?
If you heard half the stuff he said about you, you wouldn't have a thing for him, she went on cruelly.
I do not have a thing for him. I have a boyfriend.
The last word came out kind of choked, mostly because Lucas wasn't my boyfriend, but I really needed to claim him as such in this moment.
Those poems told a different story.
I don't have a thing for him.
I won't tell Kate it's you, but you have to stop writing him. We're together now.
I know.
A horn beat twice, and I looked over, hoping to see my sister. I saw Kate instead.
There's my ride, Sasha said, her smile as smug as her tone.
She must have taken 1 second too long to run to his car, because Cade hopped out and headed our way. This was turning from bad to worse.
Hello, ladies, he said.
Let's go, Sasha said to him. Cade pointed at me.
Great hair today, Lily.
I willed myself not to reach up to tame it. I could tell he was being sarcastic with that stupid smile of his. Sasha laughed.
Are you two detention buddies?
Cade asked. Not at all, I assured him, trying to gather myself together. Thankfully, I no longer felt like crying. I was just mad.
She's another one of your enemies?
He asked me, still giving me a teasing smile.
Don't pretend like you don't know that, I snapped. Your girlfriend was just reminding me why I don't hang out with people like the two of you.
Sasha laughed. You don't hang out with us because you're not welcome, but nice try. Cade looked like he was going to say something, but he hesitated, as though waiting for my response. I didn't give one. I was so done with them. I turned on my heel and stormed away. I allowed myself one glance back at them, and unfortunately saw that Sasha wrapped her arm around his waist. As they walked away, she threw me a wink over her shoulder, as if we were now co-conspirators, as if we were anything. Why hadn't I just punched her?
Chapter 36.
My mom came into my room and set a small box in front of me.
Lily, I need you to do me a favor, she said.
I looked up distractedly from my notebook. I'd been trying to drown my sorrows in songwriting, but it wasn't happening. I was still too distraught by what had gone down with Sasha after detention.
Okay, I said to Mom, closing my notebook and pushing my hair out of my eyes.
I need you to deliver that for me.
Mom nodded to the box.
What is it?
A piece of jewelry.
Okay, do you have an address? I got to my feet. Mom had asked me to drop off some pieces to clients before. And are they paying when I deliver, or have they already paid?
No payment. This is an apology gift.
I don't understand.
From you.
From me? Why?
Mom put her hands on her hips.
Because we had a guest over the other day that you treated very poorly. We didn't talk about it that day because it was Thanksgiving, but now we are talking about it. That boy had been nothing but kind, and you made him feel unwelcome.
I was too horrified to speak, but finally I found my voice.
I know. I'm sorry. I really did know, and I really was sorry, but I also really didn't want to deliver this box, and I was hoping with all the hope in me that if Mom saw that I was sincere in my regret, she wouldn't make me. Because although our guest hadn't deserved my treatment of him that day, he deserved it 1,000 times over for every other day. And his awful girlfriend deserved worse.
Good. Then this shouldn't be very hard.
Mom patted the lid of the box and walked away. Mom, wait! She stopped. Can't Wyatt just give it to him on Thursday at baseball practice? I don't need to take it now and tie up your car. Mom's car was run down, messy, and very mom-like. Even though it represented the story of my life pretty well, I tried to avoid driving it at all costs, especially in super nice neighborhoods, to the house of a guy who didn't need more reasons to make fun of me. Or I could give it to him at school. Or I could never, ever give it to him.
I'd like you to take it now, Lily.
She nodded toward the box.
Go on. And actually use the words, I'm sorry, while you're there, too.
That would be impossible. It had been years since I'd been to Cade Jennings' house, and I'd hoped I would never have to step foot in it again. But here I was, standing in front of his large double doors.
As I rang the doorbell, I prayed that he wouldn't be home. Or maybe that some butler would answer instead. Then I could throw the box and run. But luck wasn't my friend these days. Between the whole guitar thing, and the detention thing, and the Sasha thing, I shouldn't have expected this to actually go my way. Cade answered, all 6 foot, slightly damp hair, sparkling smile of him. Hey, he said, like it was perfectly normal for me to be standing on his doorstep. Hi, I muttered, my eyes down. Come in. Had my mom warned him I was coming? I stepped into his huge entryway, thinking my memory had exaggerated it, but if anything, it was bigger than I remembered. And wider. Marble floors, large white floor vases, a huge abstract painting with nothing but white lines. I held out the box to him. This is from my mom.
What for?
He opened the box and pulled out the bracelet she had been assembling on his wrist during Thanksgiving.
Ah, the man bracelet. I thought you said I was just her model.
Well, you were until I was rude to you, I said. This is a my daughter was rude to you gift.
If that's the case, she owes me about 500 more.
There was a smile in Cade's voice. Funny. Anyway, you don't have to wear it. It didn't have feathers, so at least there was that. You can give it to your mom or something. He gave a mock gasp.
This is a man bracelet, Lily. My mom is not a man. I will wear this. And when I wear it, it will remind me that you apologized for being mean to me.
I did not apologize.
Oh?
He raised one eyebrow.
So your mom is apologizing for you being mean to me?
I gave a short laugh.
Yes, but not you.
Fine, me too. I'll see you later.
Wait.
I had been backing up and I stopped.
You have to show me how to use it.
Use it?
How to put it on.
Kay turned and walked away. I assumed that meant I was supposed to follow him. I thought about not following him, but then I'd owe him another bracelet for sure. I met up with him in his massive kitchen. The box and bracelet were now sitting on the island, and he was on the other side assembling a sandwich. I had obviously interrupted him in the middle of snack time. I kept the island between us and stopped next to the box. Cade placed the top slice of bread on his sandwich and took a bite.
You want anything?
He asked, through his mouth full. No, I'm good. I picked up his bracelet. So anyway, it's just a basic clasp. You open it here and attach it to the ring.
Wait a sec. Just let me finish eating so you can show me on my wrist.
I was not going to get annoyed because it was obvious that's what he was trying to do. Annoy me. I put the bracelet back in the box, leaned against the counter, and waited. Over his right shoulder was a large set of French doors that I could see the pool through. I thought back to his 14th birthday party. After we'd eaten the catered food, everyone had gone out to the pool. A lot of the guys swam, and the girls sat on the side, like if the water touched us, we'd melt. I'd worn my swimsuit, but wasn't going to get in if Isabel didn't, especially because my swimsuit was a hand-me-down from my sister and was a little too big on me. At one point, as I talked with Isabel, I'd slipped my hand into the pocket of my shorts and felt a piece of paper there. When I pulled it out, it was a $5 bill. It had been a long time since I'd worn the shorts, and I was so surprised to see it that I'd let out a happy yelp and said, "Best day ever!" Cade, who must have been walking over to see Isabel when this happened, said,
"That's all it takes to make you happy? Maybe if I handed you a 5 every morning, you'd be more pleasant."
The bar stool next to me scraped along the floor, and I jumped, pulled out of my memory. Cade sat sideways on that bar stool, like he'd been there all day. How long had I been staring out the window? His arm was wrist up on the counter, and he held the bracelet out for me. I sighed and took the bracelet, wrapping it around his wrist. It's not hard. It's just a basic clasp. You open it by pulling back this little lever, and the circle end fits inside, and you let go. The end.
You did that with two hands. How am I supposed to do that with one hand?
I don't know. Use the counter to hold it steady. I passed the bracelet back to him and watched for several minutes as he attempted many different ways to clasp a bracelet one-handed. I bit my lip to keep from laughing.
You think this is funny? Can you do it one-handed?
Yes.
Prove it.
I draped the bracelet over my wrist, then attached the end.
Okay, That looked easy. But this is your business, so you're trained and stuff.
I laughed. This is not my business.
It's the family business.
You make us sound like mobsters or something. He was back to trying to attach the ends on his wrist. He grunted in frustration after several more minutes.
Give me your arm.
I stepped closer to him, and after 1 second realized I had stepped between his knees that were wide on the barstool. It would seem awkward to step back now, like he affected me in some way, so I didn't. Because he didn't. But his musky scent sure was doing a number on my breathing. I took the bracelet, one end in each hand, and tried to attach it around his wrist. Only now my hands seemed shaky.
You smell good, he said softly.
I closed my eyes for a moment, my breath catching. Just hold still.
I'm not the one moving.
Stop it.
What am I doing?
You're making this hard for me.
Can I ask you a question?
Why did he smell so amazing? That was the question I was going to ask when he was done with his.
Yes.
Why do we fight so much?
My mouth opened and shut in surprise.
We don't. I mean, I just... Our history isn't so great.
I never understood why.
You gave me an awful nickname in the middle of a class I was already humiliated in.
I thought I was helping. You were getting pummeled by basketballs. I thought if I made a joke about it, it would help people laugh with you instead of at you.
It didn't work.
I guess I can see that. So that's it? I made up a nickname and got an enemy for life.
You do it to everyone, I replied, looking right at him. Humiliate them in the name of charity. Then you say rude comments, and I'm never sure if you're doing it because you are trying to be funny, or if you don't realize they're rude, but they are. Just today you were mocking my hair.
What? I was not mocking your hair. You have great hair.
That made me stutter for a moment.
Yeah, well, that's, plus, and more importantly, you treated Isabel horribly.
I treated Isabel horribly? Me? What about how you treated her?
I scowled. Me? What did I do? She was my best friend. She's still my best friend.
You were a huge flake. She'd call to set things up with you, and you'd cancel last minute, because you had to babysit, and I had to watch her be disappointed all the time.
I flinched at his depiction of me. I have family obligations. She knows that.
And then you'd snap at me, like I was the one leaving her alone in the middle of a restaurant or event.
I glared at him. No, you were the one leaving her alone even when you were standing right next to her. You were so checked out. You'd be on your phone or ignoring her in some other way. He grimaced.
I was in the middle of things at the time.
Things? You never even told her what things, did you? You never told her anything about yourself. You don't tell anything to anyone except... I stopped myself, surprised I'd gone that far. I'd almost given myself away. He stared at me.
Except what?
Your girlfriend. I'm sure you tell Sasha everything.
Stop calling her that. She's not my girlfriend.
Does she know that? His knee brushed against my hip, and a jolt went through me. Why was I still standing this close? Probably because my hands were still holding both ends of the bracelet. I wasn't sure if it was the anger coursing through me now or sheer determination, but I quickly clasped his bracelet and took a step back. Enjoy your apology man bracelet, I snapped.
I will love my man bracelet.
There was something about the absurdity of that statement that made me want to laugh. I wasn't sure if Cade wanted to laugh too, but a light shone in his eyes. He stood, and we were suddenly even closer than before. My eyes started to water as I stared at him, and I realized I hadn't blinked. My desire to laugh was completely gone, and other desires were taking over. Desires I knew he didn't share. He'd basically just spelled out why he hated me. I was angry with myself for the feelings coursing through me. I turned and fled. When I got to the minivan, I had to wait for close to 5 minutes before I felt steady enough to drive. Chapter 37
He was probably doing it to drive me crazy, to remind me what it stood for. But whatever the reason, Cade was wearing that bracelet, bead